Today on Real Radio.
We see throughout Scripture the thunderings, the lightnings, and the voices always preceding, by the way, God's intervention, God speaking to man, or God's judgment. So what do we know? If we're good students of the Bible, we know this, that Revelation chapter 4, beginning now verses 5 onward, is the introduction to the judgments of God that are soon coming to the earth. From what vantage point? From heaven, for that's where John is.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues leading us through the book of Revelation. Chapter 4 gives us a description of what appears to be the throne room of Almighty God. John uses terms like creatures and elders, which are bowing down to God's throne and giving him credit and endless doxologies for creating all things. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called Heaven.
Revelation chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like that of a lion, and the second living creature was like that of a calf, and the third living creature was like that of the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like that of a flying eagle. Verse 8, the four living creatures, each of them having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. All of this that John is revealing to us, his glimpse into heaven that we're allowed to see, just a real snippet, actually, of what he saw, is actually happening as we sit here in Pacific time here in California. We are limited to our time zone, yet in heaven where there's no time at all, it is eternal. As we are here right now in worship, both in singing and in his word, there are these four creatures that are bowing down before the throne of God right now, and they are declaring, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Awesome, isn't it, to think? It's going on right now. And that John saw 2,000 years ago in his revelation, he saw what it would be like, what it will be like, because he saw the eternal picture of these 24 elders who we learned last week in our study are representative of the believers. And you can interpret this several ways. None of them do any damage. We know this, that these 24 elders have been redeemed from all the earth. They are men, or mankind. They have been purchased out of the world by the blood of Christ. We'll know that more in chapter 5. And that we can also understand that not only do they collectively represent the believers, but there are records in Scripture of the 12 tribes of Israel, for in heaven, the foundational stones have the names of the 12 tribes, the names of the 12 sons. of Jacob in heaven, but also the names of the 12 apostles, equaling, of course, 24, collectively representing the believers throughout the ages. 24 elders. We don't know their names specifically, can't point to them. That's not the point. That's not what God wanted to have us glean out of it. The point was that before the throne, there will be gathered together for all time and eternity the collective representation of God's people. And we looked at that in Revelation 4, verse 4. We started at Revelation 4, verse 4, and we made it all the way down to the end of verse 4 last week together. And we'll go a little bit further this morning, and we'll complete it in verse 11 as we look to part 2 of our message regarding heaven and the wonderful truth of the fact that there's coming attractions for all of us. I am elated and excited, though we begin a brand new year, and this is our first Sunday as a church together. And I don't know if any of you, don't raise your hand. I don't know if any of you are here as like a New Year's resolution, first time, it's the first of the year and you know you're going to church. But something's going on because first and second service today has been nearly full. This service pretty much full. And that's exciting. But can I encourage you to continue with whatever commitment you've made? You'll be surprised if you continue what will happen in your life this year. In fact, I guarantee you this, if you follow the Lord Jesus this year, if you make a dedication to get into His Word and to gather for fellowship, I guarantee you that your life by the end of this year will be radically changed. It will be different. I wish I could say if it wasn't, you can have your money back or there's a guarantee. It's better than all that. Just give God a chance. Don't start this year out with Him and wind up bailing out on Him. He's got a great plan for your life. And one of those plans is to deposit you in heaven whenever that time comes for any one of us. And so this is exciting stuff. Regarding the preview of coming attractions, we looked at this last time, and that is that heaven, we're looking at what we'll see in heaven, for it is a real place. And so He said to us there, we looked at four main things, that the 24 elders are there before the throne and they sit upon 24 thrones. And we looked at these four considerations, that the 24 elders have a unique place before God. And we talked about how you and I, according to the Bible, will be seated around the throne of God. We will be with Him in heaven. That's amazing, because our concept and thought is, I just want to get there. You know, it's kind of like going someplace that's really great and you're just happy to be invited. But then once you get there, you find out that the ticket that you have has got a little stamp, you know, on the back with a star on it or whatever. And you get to be moved to the front of the line. It's pretty amazing. It's one thing to get into Disneyland, if you can afford it. But recently we had the invitation to go into one of those, the 33 Club, it's called. It's Walt Disney's house that he had when he would live at Disneyland at times down in New Orleans area. And it's beautiful. And it's very limited. And you have to have a special invitation to get in there. And I didn't know anybody, but they knew me from here and asked us, Lisa and I, to go. And pretty cool to be sitting down. Everything's antique and everything's back when Walt was there. And it's like, wow. And you get to open the door and you kind of look down and everyone's walking around the streets. And it's like, wow, how did that happen? Am I a Disney? No. I'm not even a mouse. No. But listen, you got in because you knew somebody or they knew you. And the truth of the matter is God knows you if you're a Christian this morning. God knows you if you've said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross and rose again from the dead, as your Bible says, and that you're alive and you're my Lord and Savior. Listen, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If that's the case, so to speak, you've got a ticket. And if you turn it over, there's a little stamp on it. And you get to sit down and eat with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And the representation of that is these 24 elders gathered around the throne. And we know this, that they have a unique place before God. They are seated around the Lord, a unique place. We saw last time that they have a unique practice that is before the Lord, and that is they are sitting. Remember what we looked at last time? They're not sweating. They're not panicking. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, for all of us who believe in Christ, that we are now to enter into the rest of God that He has given us, a rest. Listen, my heart breaks for Christians that I see laboring and, so to speak, sweating out their Christian existence. Everything is a burden to them. Everything is a hardship to them regarding their relationship with God. Everything's a bummer. They can't worship the Lord because they can't get that far. Everything to them is a performance-based relationship with God, which is no relationship at all. It's all legalistic to them. If I just keep this rule, if I don't do, I hope I don't do this thing, I hope not. And you sit, as it were, sequestered in this little box of fear. You believe in all of the Christian tenets of our faith, but you've never had the freedom to venture out and become the person that God has called you to be, because you're so bound, as it was with Lazarus having been raised from the dead. He had life, but he was still bound in the grave cloths. And there are many believers who love the Lord Jesus, but they're bound by performance. And Jesus would say, as he said to those concerning Lazarus, somebody loose him and let him go. I think God wants to take you and this church, as it were, like a top. You know, remember those? Does anybody remember having a top as a toy? And some of them, you'd pull that string and they would even zzz, remember that? Man, you pull that string and away it goes. God wants to, so to speak, pull the string and let us go. Unravel the grave cloths of legalism that has sequestered our Christian growth for so long, and he wants to let us go. You need to be seated, as it were. The Bible tells us that we are seated in the heavenlies. The book of Ephesians tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. Christian, listen, don't raise your hand, but are you a Christian today? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian today. Then listen, are you free? Are you living a life of freedom? Freedom from fear and freedom from all the things that this world would have you and I bound by. Do we pledge our lordship to the things that have trapped people in the past, or maybe trapped us in the past? Maybe it's lust or drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be. The world wraps you up and keeps you bound. And then you've heard the knowledge, or the word, I should say, of the Lord, and you've come to the knowledge of his forgiving grace and his mercy. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore stand free in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. Is anything plaguing you today? Anything plaguing us? Take the liberty that Christ has invited you and I to experience, so to speak, sit down in the power of God and go forward. He'll do it. It's the power of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. A unique place, a unique practice. They are seated before the Lord. And thirdly, we saw last time that they're clothed in white raiment, which the Bible speaks about as the righteousness, or the doings or the deeds of the saints. That's in this lifetime, by the way, friend. It's not later. There's no homeless in heaven. Can't feed them there. You can't visit the sick in heaven. There's no sick in heaven. The white raiment that they're wearing has been given to them by the Lord, and it's representative of their deeds that they did, their Christian ministry, service that they performed while they were here, while we were here on earth. Remember, John is looking into the future, and he's there in heaven by spirit. He's looking, he sees the church in heaven, for the church has been raptured. Revelation 4, verse 1, that's spoken of there. And then fourthly, we saw, we're still in the fourth verse, was that these 24 elders had a unique possession in heaven, and we'll talk more about that now as we get into the second point of our study, and that is that they had crowns of gold. You say, I thought they were believers. They are believers. I thought they're representative of even the Christian church. They are. Well, then what are we doing with the crowns? Yeah, isn't it kind of weird, huh? Why would God give us crowns? It's kind of embarrassing, don't you think? And yet the Bible tells us that he's going to reward us, says the scripture, throughout scripture, that when we get there before the judgment seat of Christ, he is going to reward us for those things that we've done in this body. Amazing. So why would he give us crowns? It's not that you and I would walk around heaven and saying, hey, look at my crown. Have you seen such a crown? Hey, what's wrong with your crown? It's not as big as my crown. You think Billy Graham's going to be in heaven with his huge crown? He's got training wheels on the side. He just, you know, it's got little scaffolding. He's got to, you know, move it around. You're not going to show up there, you know, maybe you've led some people to the Lord, and, oh, look at me, I led some people to the Lord, and man, look at the crown I got. That is not going to happen. You say, that's right, because you know what? We shouldn't have crowns in heaven. Well, too bad. You're going to get a crown in heaven. But it's not for you to boast about it. The Bible tells us we're going to cast it back at the feet of the Lord and give all the glory to Him. That's an important thing. There is not a Christian in this room that should not be saying, Lord, use my life and cause me to be faithful to you, to do all that I do with the right motive. And Lord, though the crown be not my glory, be not my motive, Lord, when I stand before you, I want to take whatever you give me and give it back to you in praise and worship of who you are. Isn't it amazing that God created all that there is? It is God who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And it is God who invites us to heaven. And listen, it is God that when we get there, shares it all with us. Man, I don't get it, but I'm glad. He's so generous and kind. This is the Lord. And the unique possession that the 24 elders have are these crowns. And they speak about our existence in heaven. Point number two, this is where we picked up last time, verses 5-8, heaven, a preview of coming attractions. Regarding this, we look at what things will be like when we get there. Get a load of it. John, remember, is a representation of the church, as is the 24 elders. What do we know? In Revelation 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, the rapture of the church has taken place. The church is in heaven. The church is only mentioned from this point on having resided in heaven. It doesn't come out of heaven until Revelation chapter 19, back down to earth. John the Apostle says this, and from the throne, verse 5, proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Those are three heavy things, by the way. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, he says. Verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. One thing I want you to note, that whenever you read in the scripture the proceeding forth of lightnings and thunderings and voices, it is always in association with God's throne, and it is always in association with God's dealing with man. First case, when Moses is speaking with God on the mountaintop, what happens? The mountain, Mount Sinai, begins to shake. There's lightnings and thunderings and the sound of a trumpet, as it were, talking. And Moses was there with God for 40 days. He was with the Lord, sustained by the power of God. Anybody remember? If not, you're going to read it soon as we go through the Bible together. Moses comes down out of the mountaintop, and he's got some sort of veil over his head. He sees the glory of God. His face is shining. I don't know what that means, though. I mean, was he tan? Or was his face illuminating? It seems to imply that his face was illuminated by the glory of God. But because Moses left his presence, it began to diminish. Are you with me? So rather than have the people see the glory and then it diminish, Moses comes down with absolute authority given to him by God, but he veils his face in the presence of the people, that they see not the glory fade. Now, I don't know at what point in time Moses took the veil off, but Moses announced to the people the law of God. And by the way, the blueprints to the tabernacle about the Ark of the Covenant and all that stuff, okay? Well, the people said, Moses, that's great for you, but we don't want anymore you to talk to God with us nearby, because we are terrified by the thunderings and the lightnings and the voices. Spooked us out. Don't want to go there. We see throughout Scripture the thunderings, the lightnings, and the voices always preceding, by the way, God's intervention, God speaking to man, or God's judgment. So what do we know? If we're good students of the Bible, we know this, that Revelation chapter 4, beginning now verses 5 onward, is the introduction to the judgments of God that are soon coming to the earth. From what vantage point? From heaven, for that's where John is. Another thing I want you to look at is this. Look at verse 6. The judgment is soon coming upon the earth, but notice what John sees in heaven. And I hope this is exciting. It says in verse 6, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. What's important about this is the fact that, and you can read this later for your homework, Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10 tell us this, that what God showed Moses regarding the tabernacle, the menorah, the showbread, the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim on top of the mercy seat, the Ten Commandments inside with Aaron's rod and the manna, all those things that were with the children of Israel in the Egyptian wilderness or in the Judean wilderness, and even as they crossed over from the Jordan, they carried it with them until there was a home for it, meaning the temple in Jerusalem. All of that, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, was a type or a symbol of that which is in heaven. It says that Jesus Christ, having been crucified on the cross and resurrected from the dead, entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven, not made with human hands. You see, well, I thought the Holy of Holies was in the tabernacle and in the temple. Nope. I mean, yes, but it was only a type. What about the high priest going in? Wasn't that special? Oh, sure, it was special. But the Bible says that they were acting out as a type what Christ is to us, our great high priest. And you can read that in great detail. And it is a wonderful thing. But I have to tell you this. It's just a type or a symbol of the glory of God that is in heaven. As the scripture tells us, and I'm so glad for this, that Jesus entered that place not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered in. And he is now appearing on our behalf. People, no one can break in to the throne room in heaven and steal your salvation. They can't tear down the temple and destroy it by an invading army. It's in heaven. Aren't you glad that this morning Jesus Christ represents your salvation, where moth and rust and thieves cannot break in and steal, nor can it be corrupt? Well, what about this sea of crystal or the sea of glass? This is most significant. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 30 regarding this sea or basin of water before the throne. Exodus 30, 19 says, "For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in the water of the laver. And when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near to the altar to minister, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute for them forever, throughout to all their generations."
Okay, well, we'll have to pick up on tomorrow's broadcast of Real Radio to get a further explanation on this passage. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Heaven, A Preview of Things to Come. It's part of our teacher's study series through the book of Revelation here on Real Radio, which means that we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast, so be sure and join us once again. Listen, you've probably been glued to the TV watching the news in the Middle East. Well, the timing couldn't be better because last weekend we hosted an event called the 2006 Israel and Bible Prophecy Conference. And Pastor Jack gave a riveting update on the Middle East crisis and Bible prophecy. If you'd like to see it, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and listen to or watch that part of the conference online. With all that's happening in Lebanon and Israel and the surrounding area, right now is an important time to be informed. So log on to realradioactive.org for Pastor Jack's message. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. So consider partnering with us. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You can also call us at 909-393-7100. Again, area code 909-393-7100. And of course, if you were not able to catch all that contact information, just remember that it can all be easily found on our website at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.